All right, everyone. Welcome to Car Thoughts with David. And on today's episode, your host, David Calvert, on the line with Jordan Gross. And what we're going to be talking about is getting to and living that cloud nine lifestyle. Sorry, I tried to say those words at the same time. And welcome, Jordan. And if you'd just like to kind of introduce yourself, talk a little bit about what you do, and then we'll get started.
Yes. Hey, David. So excited to be on Car Thoughts today. And I appreciate the kind intro and can't wait to talk more about Cloud Nine living with you and with all of your listeners. So basically, my own little Cloud Nine journey is that I was always a guy who sort of was going through the motions. So I felt like I was groomed for a very particular path ever since I was a little kid, right? So, and that was nobody's fault because everybody in my life thought it was the path that I should be taking and should be going on. And it was a path that would lead to much success, personally and professionally. So it was like high school, I was this scholar athlete, right? And I played soccer and I got really good grades. So then the next logical step was to go to college. And in college, it was all about, you know, school and finding the right internships, right? So it was, you know, do investment banking or consulting so you have a good job and you make a lot of money. So I did that, and I listened to my peers and the people around me. And after that, I didn't really want to pursue those two fields. So it was, that's fine, you know, go ahead and why don't you get a master's degree? So I went and I got my master's degree in management studies. And while I was there, it was, you know, why don't you do something that's, you know, that you like, but still, you know, have this corporate position where you're making a lot of money and you're going to be successful. So I got into the restaurant industry, actually, but I had a very high up role at a very young age. I was part of the leadership team where I was 23 years old. And some of the people I was managing were, you know, three times my age. So from the outside looking in, everything looked good. But from the inside looking out, I was this person who really had never decided on my own, what I wanted to do and create with my life. So I like to say that my little aha moment was actually, you know, in listening and understanding and hearing all these people on personal growth and development podcasts and like list and reading books. It always seemed like everybody had, you know, unfortunately, maybe a tragedy strike that allowed them to make a change and take control of their life. Or maybe there was this epiphany that they had. But I say my epiphany was actually the realization that I didn't need an epiphany to make a change. So that's when I kind of decided to leave that corporate life, do a little bit of exploration and discovery for myself. And that was the start of my own Cloud Nine journey. So I wrote my first book last year. I went around, you know, talking about it, going on podcasts, doing interviews, doing speeches. And I did a little bit of coaching. And now here I am trying to share how I got into my Cloud Nine journey, which is really based off of, you know, doing what I'm curious about, what I'm passionate about, what I want to pursue, rather than what society and other people expect us to pursue. So that's a little bit about me, why I'm here now, and then we'll dive into more so what Cloud Nine is like and what I'm doing to understand people's Cloud Nine journeys. And yeah, I'm just, you know, excited to keep talking.
All right. Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah. I think you really touched on a good point that a lot of people who read those types of motivational books or self-help books or the books that everybody has read that's like on
LinkedIn
or whatever, is they think, you know, because you said there was something like each person had like this tragedy story or the story of how this addiction came to them. And the thing is I think you're absolutely 100%. You don't have to have like some life-changing event like, oh, you know, I had cancer and I beat it back and I know I wanted to do something important with my life. You can also have those moments where you're like, you know what, I just really don't enjoy what I'm in school for or what I'm doing in my profession. I just want to do something else. What is that? You just had to be curious and that can be your epiphany, is just realizing that this is not what I wanted, so maybe I need to try again.
Exactly. Why wait, God forbid, for that time where something bad that wakes you up does happen, you know? Don't wait for that. Understand that you have the opportunity to craft your own story now. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to look back and tell a story that I could be excited to tell my future children or, you know, anybody moving forward.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, none of us know also how much time we have to, on this earth. You know, I know, I heard one story that was told to me, and this lady said her aunt wanted to write a book for years.
Yeah.
She wanted to write this book about the family and about
her
and her family growing up in this third world country and all of this. And she wrote the book, and like, I want to say like 6 months after it got published, she actually ended up passing away.
My goodness. Like, yeah.
You never know. So, you know, take that opportunity now and absolutely try and live that life that makes sense to you, that makes you happy, that takes you to cloud nine.
Absolutely.
Know,
and
make it count.
Yeah. Last thing I'll mention here. But I live my life fearing the what if so much more than I actually fear the what, right? So what I mean by that is it scares me so much more to think about what I could pass up on and the opportunities that I don't pursue than it actually scares me to put my name out there, put my face out there, put my ideas out there and go ahead and try to do something that I think about, right? So that's, you know, I like to say I lead my life as an experiment. You know, I'm the human lab rat who is trying different things all the time, following my curiosities and using a deep amount of self-reflection in order to understand which curiosity is going to lead to a passion and then which passion is going to ultimately lead to my overall purpose, which I think I've really found. So we're at a pretty good time in my life for this conversation for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's so important, you know, and so many things in life, you know, we don't know if we're going to like something until we try it.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of people in every aspect of their life, they're all for trying things.
Yep.
And then you get to, like, your career and you're going to college and you're like, I need to do this. Like you were saying about, this will be a good money-making job, a good career path, but, you know, we don't sit there and, like, experiment as much. I mean, some people do, but a lot of people
yep.
just go into it and they're like, okay, this is what I'm going to do until I retire, and that's it, and then, you know, they didn't really try anything else or see what else was a good fit for them that might be different, like, for instance, writing a book or speaking or a podcast, or, you know, any of the number of things that you could do that are outside of the normal mold.
Exactly, and today, actually, I listened to Elizabeth Gilbert, who is the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and she was talking about how, actually, she doesn't tell people to pursue their passions anymore, because she was somebody who was kind of like, you got to pursue your passion. I pursued mine and here I am, you know, all I thought about was writing. I wrote this book and now look what happened. But she actually said that now she doesn't tell people to pursue their passions because there's so much fear around like discovering that passion, right? So the advice is not pursue your passion, because the immediate first question is how do I find out what the heck my passion is, right? So what Elizabeth Gilbert says, and what I totally agree with, and what I'm trying to work with people with in their journeys to Cloud Nine, is not so much to pursue a passion, because you might not have one yet, but rather to explore your curiosities, things that just, you know, slightly turn your head, things that you perk up about when you read about them in the news or hear them on TV. Explore those. Take a deep dive in. Try something in that world, and then understand and interpret for yourself whether or not that's actually a passion of yours. And you can only learn that through experimentation and going ahead and immersing yourself in different experiences.
Yeah, I mean, and that's brilliant. I totally agree with that as well, because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I know in my own life, if I wouldn't have been just a naturally curious person that would just sit
yeah.
and study strange things, I would have never landed in a lot of the stuff that I did
yep.
and had the experiences I had, because – you know, it's like, oh, you know, and people ask me, they're like, why are you studying this or why are you reading about this?
Yeah.
I literally studied about the origin of windshield wiper blades. I was like, oh, I'm curious.
Yeah.
About how they came to be, you know, and
yeah.
that's kind of curiosity you really have to have, is you have to get into that where you're just like anything, like, oh, well, this thing kind of looks cool. Well, you know, I'll take some time and learn about this. And the next thing you know, you're finding something that might not be pertinent to what you want to do, but it might be good knowledge down the road
yeah.
for another skill, or it might help trigger you discovering another skill because you
mm-hmm.
studied about that, and then you're like, well, this is kind of related. And
yeah, you're so right. You said it better than I ever do. You know, I always talk about the transferable skills, right? And when I talk to people about, you know, helping them explore and discover their purpose, I always tell them to do things that they would never expect to do, or even to do things that they hate, right? But then to really understand what it was during those experiences that are so seemingly negative, that light them up, right? What are the skills that they enjoyed? What did they realize that they got out of it? so that they can transfer it over to something else later in life. So you're totally, you know, hit the nail on the head there. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you started coming up with the idea for this, what was the lead up a little bit to how you ended up coming up with this book and this
idea? Yeah. So this is a pretty beautiful story. Whereas, you know, my decision to leave corporate and pursue the life of my dreams doesn't really have this kind of epiphany, amazing story. The Cloud Nine journey really does have this amazing story. So it was a perfect combination of factors. And this was November 2018, right? So November 2018, it had been like a weirdly introspective weekend. A friend or an acquaintance of mine had just passed away. It was kind of a somber weekend. I had also just finished reading Mitch Albom's The Next Person You Meet in Heaven, which again is like a very, you know, deep spiritual book. And on Sunday of the weekend, whatever weekend it was in November, I went over to my buddy's house in New York City, traveled down there, and then throughout the day we just kind of had deep talks because our friend had just passed away, and we talked about life, we talked about death, we talked about love, you know, we talked about some normal guy stuff, you know, we slow roasted a pork shoulder, had a good time, watched some football, but then, you know, I'm normally a pretty chatty guy, especially, you know, with like people who don't normally get the opportunity to chat that much, so I'm talking like Uber drivers, cashiers, bank tellers, I try to really strike up conversation and switch up their norm. So I was in an Uber on the way home, and I said to the driver, as we passed this boat on the East River, I said to him, "Oh, the boat's called Cloud Nine. Like, what does Cloud Nine mean to you?" Right? And I could not have been more pleasantly surprised by his answer. He spoke about the day he got married. He spoke about the day he had his children. He spoke about the day he left his country to come to America. He spoke about his relationship with his parents. He spoke about his ability to have great conversations like this at his job. He really just touched on so many different life experiences that allowed him to feel like he was on cloud nine. And then I kid you not, Dave, it was like I was in a constant state of flow after that for the next 5 weeks. I outlined a fictional story of a guy who is living life one way, but he also had the opportunity to live his Cloud Nine life. So what I do in this fictional Journey to Cloud Nine book is I juxtapose what a, you know, this guy's normal life led to versus what his Cloud Nine life could have led to. Basically, with the normal life being, you know, my own journey, where I've realized that a normal life is, you know, based off of societal expectations and other people, whereas the Cloud Nine life is all based on intuition and heart. So I did that, and then you know, that was the real origin story of the Cloud Nine. And then it's so funny because you called me on a great day. I pass that boat almost every day on a run down the East River here in New York City. And today, outside of the boat, I realized that there were some flyers if you wanted to rent the boat. So I took a flyer. I called the charter company called Cloud Nine Charters. And I had a conversation with the woman about, you know, pretty much nothing, but basically just telling her the story about how influential that boat is to me. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is really cool. Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing how, you know, inspiration can strike from places you don't expect. I mean, and honestly, I'm like you when it comes to conversation. Probably some of the coolest conversations, and this is for even anybody listening, that I've ever had with people have been, like, Uber drivers. They are just interesting. Like, their life stories are just so amazing to hear. They really inspire you. Like, I mean, just everyone I've ever talked to has been, like, really cool experience. And I'm like, you know, I get out of the car and I'm like, gosh, I'm here already. Can we ride around the block one more
time? Yeah, me too. Because, you know, they live according to their curiosity. They don't live, you know, based off of one thing, right? They have a story of you know, tremendous sometimes adversity, sometimes, you know, just different experiences, and you get to hear all about somebody's life, and you really, you know, dive into that story, and it's like, yeah, I don't want this Uber to end, like, can we go somewhere else? But you're absolutely right, and it's, you know, for me, it's changing their narrative, right? So how can I make this person feel different each and every day. So it's not only the Uber driver, but like, you know, say the line at Chipotle, right? Like everybody gets up to the line at Chipotle and it's, I'll have a burrito, I'll have chicken, I'll have steak, I'll have beans, I'll have corn, no guac, thanks, have a good day, right? But for me, it's more so like, hey, how you doing today? Like, any interesting customers, you know, any good meals, anybody get the quesarito? So for me, conversation and relationships is all about changing that normal narrative, not taking somebody out of sometimes that robotic lifestyle and allowing them to feel more like a human.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, because any of those jobs can definitely be repetitive and robotic very easily.
Yeah.
You're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. But, yeah, and I mean, obviously I've not read the book yet, though I'm very interested. I've got to get a copy for sure.
It's not out yet. It's not out yet. It'll be out for a while.
But I love the idea of it being as a fictional, a narrative. I think that's really cool. I think a lot of all the books I've read, in this type of a vein of a book, this will be the second one I've found that's actually fictional.
What's the first?
Telling the story. The first is a book. It's called The Man, the Moon, and the Casket. And
cool.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. It's about, a guy who he's like just not happy, and he ends up meeting this older woman who's kind of like lived her life, and she's kind of content and everything, and she kind of helps him find contentment and happiness
that sounds
kind of a neat story.
Yeah, it sounds right up my alley. Can you please send that to me when you get a chance?
Sure.
Thank
you. Afterwards,
interesting. I think so. And just to dive in for the reason why I wanted to do it this way, I think it's twofold. One is out of, my personal experience the last year and a half, everything I've done is self-help or personal growth and development, listening to podcasts every day, reading books every single day. And a lot of the information, which is all great information, but I just feel like it's being presented in like just slightly different ways. Whether it's a different acronym, whether it's somebody saying it in a different way, using a different example. I just feel like I'm in this self-help and personal growth and development world. Like I was just hearing a lot of the same things, and I personally wasn't feeling like I was learning anything new. So I wanted to present something in a new way for people, even though maybe they wouldn't learn new things. It's definitely a way for them to interpret it in a different way. And then that leads me to the second reason why I wanted to do it. I feel like the stigma associated with the self-help world is that the creator of what they're trying to get you to do is often seen as like demanding. Like this is how you have to live your life. Like this is going to lead you, like X is going to lead you to Y kind of life, right? But for me, I thought it would be more inviting to create a story that shows you like, here is what could happen if you live your life one way as opposed to another. And I want the reader to interpret for her or himself how they should use the story in order to implement in their day-to-day life. So that's really the big, reason why I wanted to get outside the world of traditional self-help writing and really use like an allegory in order to present these life principles that I've discovered from talking to people about their Cloud9 experiences.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really brilliant because, I mean, you really nailed it. A lot of the books are very similar and then, of course, like you said about people saying, okay, if you follow these steps, you'll be successful. ECD leads to E. But giving people a different type of way to approach it because everybody learns differently. I mean, there's people that are more visual, there are people that are more audio, people that are more, they read it and they remember it or they have to see it, And so giving people different ways to interpret the data, opens up avenues to help people that might not have been reachable from reading, say, like Gary Vee or Rock Thomas or one of these guys' books. They don't, it doesn't compute, but they read like your book and they're like, wait, it makes sense. It clicked, light bulb goes off and, it works for them. So, I come from a vein, I had never read a self-help book before 2 years ago.
Me neither.
And so for me, you know, a story presented in a fiction setting makes more sense to me because that's the kind of books I grew up reading. I spent my entire life reading.
Yeah.
So I can more easily pick apart the meaning and the moral story behind that than I could necessarily, you know, because I've got less experience with a standard, like, fictional self-help book.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. So it's not out yet. Yeah. Okay, so that's good, because I was like,
I think
he's got a book. Let me see if I can find it. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to ask him about where that is. So,
yeah,
I'm definitely going to pick it up, though, because I'm very interested in reading it.
Yeah,
sure,
of course.
Especially now knowing what I know. But
I appreciate that. And it's going to – probably won't be out for another, like, 6 to 9 months. I don't have an exact publication date yet. But I want to get the conversation started now. So that's why, you know – I'm trying to appeal to more, like a very diverse audience, right? So I do want the people who, you know, love the self-help world, but that's why I've got a website where I'm talking and interviewing people, you know, pretty much on a daily basis, just asking them questions about their Cloud Nine, how they create a Cloud Nine day, how they create a Cloud Nine week, month, life. And then I'm also sharing these 90-second videos of people explaining their Cloud Nine moment, which is basically like the happiest they've ever been. So it's honestly just a great way for people to check out what a Cloud Nine life entails and have that daily dose of happiness each and every day. And then for the other side, the other audience who don't necessarily want that here's what to do kind of information, then the fiction side of the book will be out, you know, when it comes out.
So you're tagging it on both fronts there.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it's like the nonfiction traditional approach of like going on podcasts and coming out with content every day with the fiction final product. So I don't know. I haven't really seen too many people do this before, and I think that's right up my alley. I'm always trying to think a little bit differently than everybody else and then also get people to think differently than everybody else. So I think I'm on a good track right now.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it perfectly exemplifies what you're teaching too, because you're going out there and trying something that's not really been done before, you know, not in that avenue as far as, you know, doing fiction and then all of the pre-promotion, which has been done, but you're going to mediums that are new, you know, you're not going to traditional print media like newspaper or whatever.
You're
getting a podcast. You're getting the word out there. You're getting it out to people. And podcast is one of the fastest growing forms of audio entertainment, you know, out there right now. So yeah, I mean, you're definitely, you know, in my opinion, breaking new ground and doing stuff that's different and piquing the curiosity of people that are obviously curious, because I feel like people who listen to podcasts in a lot of ways are people who are curious to find out new things, because there's podcasts on literally every subject. I know I did a lot of research when I started my show. If you could think of a subject, it was probably a podcast for it. So
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I do. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. But you know, definitely looking forward to the book, like I said. And as far as, you know, everything that you're doing, what's the best ways to find out more about Cloud Nine, what you're doing, to get plugged into what you're doing and to learn more about, you know, speaking engagements, things like that?
Yeah. Yeah. So very simple. JourneyToCloud9.com, all spelled out. JourneyToCloudNine.com. And on there you can find anything and everything you need to know about the Cloud Nine moments, the Cloud Nine living, about myself, about where I've talked, about this, you know, my own Cloud Nine journey, these podcasts that I'm going on. So I don't know if you mentioned this before, but, you know, I'm doing 90 podcasts in 90 days to really spread the word. And also on there is just, you know, being a part of the email list where you just receive 2 videos a week of 90 seconds about somebody's Cloud Nine moment. So it's not another newsletter. But that's what you'll receive. And, you know, JourneyToCloud9.com is where everything will be. So I'll keep it super simple.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll definitely have that link in the show notes and everything. And obviously sign up for the not newsletter.
Yeah.
But Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, man, so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate having a chat with you and getting to know you over this chat and learning more about what you're doing. It's super cool. I'm sold.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate your time, and I love everything you're doing as well. You know, just being a constant learner, being constantly curious. The word that comes to my mind is something I recently learned that I was, which is a multi-potentialite. Have you heard of that before?
I have not.
Oh, I'll send you the TED Talk because I think you fit the bill. And it's just somebody who basically has a lot of interests and is not afraid to pursue a lot of different interests. So, you know, I love talking to people like that. And, yeah, thank you again. I love this conversation.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you.
We all know how hard it is to grow, right? Especially if we are in the first month or years of our journey, of our business startup, or we're coaching, or we're writing, and we want to spread the word about us. We all know that it is pretty difficult to get the word out there. But that's exactly where I come in. I want to host an ad about your business into my podcast, Impact by Choice. So look me up on LinkedIn, Andrada Anite, or reach out to David and he will help you get to me. I would love to work with you further on, and I would love to help you boost the visibility of your brand.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.